Time for some December football talk, the Sunday Nighter, Niners at Seahawks. Our guest is a sports journalist, KTLA in LA, also hosts the Believe in 49ers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network with Eric Davis. You can follow him on Twitter, use the handle at rhaylock, joined by Rashawn Haylock. Rashawn, really appreciate the time. How's life treating you and yours these days?
Hey, Steve, thanks for having me. Things are well, man. Things are well. Can't complain.
So before we get into the matchup, as a first-time guest, got to get a little personal background info. I know you're a SoCal guy, so, you know, where did you do your undergrad? You know, growing up, who were your teams, college, pro, Dodgers, Angels, Lakers, Clippers? Kind of fill us in.
L.A. boy, born and raised. Went to Cal State University Northridge, CSUN, out here, which is San Fernando Valley, about 25 miles away from LAX. Growing up, it was all Lakers. It was all purple and gold. Chick Hearn, probably the motivation for me even wanting to get into this business, the long time voice of the Los Angeles Lakers. But yeah, it was Lakers, Dodgers, pretty much. Those were my teams growing up. You know, I liked the Raiders and Rams, but they left when I was a kid, so I had to find a new team and end up with the Niners.
You know, I saw that you got to cover being a Lakers fan, and you know, as at that point a professional reporter, Game 7, 2010 against the Celtics. You know, Kobe finding Artest for the big three, the Vujicic fouls to clinch it. Especially now since we lost Kobe. I mean, when you look back on that, just how much of a magical night was that at Staples?
Oh man, it was incredible. It was one of the greatest nights of my career, and that was kind of the early days of my career. I was still doing some production stuff behind the scenes, so still kind of cutting my teeth in the business a little bit. You know, still sort of paying my dues. But you know, just the opportunity to be around Staples Center, you know, night in and night out, and to watch the late great Kobe Bryant was awesome. But you talk about a game 7 against the Celtics, like I watched this stuff as a kid, right? And the opportunity to actually be there, and the nerves throughout the building were incredible. And obviously being a part of the media, right? No bias, no rooting, no cheering, none of that stuff or whatever. But I remember there was another member of the media sitting right next to me. And somehow we were in the section by ourselves, and we were just kind of like, you know, bumping elbows underneath the table, you know, hoping nobody saw us as it got kind of tight there. And, man, what a night. I literally did not sleep that night. I think I got home. But when I got home, I think the sun beat me home the next morning. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, like I told you in my text, I've been a Knicks fan for more than 50 years, so I enjoy that just through my contempt for the Celtics. So there you go.
Well, we can all bond over overseas losses. That is for sure. That is for sure.
That's awesome. You know, I work for the flagship station here in Pac-12 country for the Ducks, so I got to ask you about there was a stop the presses move. You know, Lincoln Riley leaves Oklahoma for USC. I guess it would be fair to ask, how did that rate on the Richter scale of LA sports earlier this week?
Oh, man, it shook things up for sure. You know, it was a little, what dulled it maybe a little bit was the fact that the same day, Scherzer leaves the Dodgers, and then, you know, the reports of Corey Seager leaving the Dodgers as well kind of came out around the same time. But I'll tell you what, the night before, Pete Arbogast, longtime voice of USC Trojans, I was listening to him on the radio called the game against BYU, and he mentioned something about, you know, there may be an announcement coming up tomorrow or later in the week. And tomorrow obviously was Sunday, and man, did not expect this. Wasn't quite sure where they were going to go. We had heard a bunch of rumblings, but the majority of the names that we heard were guys that had either turned them down or that had gotten extensions from the schools that they're currently at. And so you talk about swinging for the fences and connecting. You got to give kudos to Mike Bone and the athletic director at USC and the entire staff there, Carol Folt, the president, the entire staff there, in a previously I was a beat writer for the program, and I was there around the time when Lane got fired, and also during Sark's tenure as well, his short tenure. And so to see that they actually went big game hunting, which is something that I thought that they were maybe bashful of doing in the past, to see that they actually went that route and did it, they won the offseason. They absolutely won the coaching carousel for this go-around.
Something tells me Pete Arbogast had a special how do you do for that one.
You're definitely familiar with Pete. That is for sure.
talking with Rashawn Haylock of KTLA TV in LA, the Believe in Niners podcast. So this Niner team, kind of just at the core, you know, they beat the Bears and then they fell into that hole against Arizona. They had to abandon the running game, but now, Rashawn, on this three-game win streak, so just in general, how much do we kind of doff our cap to the guys for fighting back? And, you know, right now they're right in the thick of the playoff race.
Yeah, on our latest episode, my partner on the pod, Super Bowl champion Eric Davis, and I were talking about this. And look, I mean, there was a time where it looked like this team was done, right? And for the majority of the season, we've talked about a plan, them having a plan or lack thereof. And it seemed like, you know, Kyle Shanahan had this new toy with Trey Lance, and he wanted to somehow incorporate him, but prior to the season, you know, he had already said that Trey wasn't necessarily ready to be the starter, but he still wanted to give him some reps, so he was going to try to get him in there, you know, at some times. And they really weren't really sticking to the run game. They were going away from the formula. And one thing about it is, you know, last season the team was just decimated by injuries. So you figure you come back with a healthy squad, you're able to run it back and maybe duplicate what you're able to do in 19, or maybe even take it a step further. Like, you enter the season with real-life Super Bowl, you know, expectations, and it just did not look that way. But I think what you've seen the last three games, which has sort of made me a believer, so to sense, because I thought this team could finish 9-8 at best, and this was after the Rams game. On Monday night a few weeks ago. But you look at what they've done, right? They beat a Rams team that they probably weren't supposed to beat at home, a place where they hadn't won an entire calendar year. You go out and you beat Jacksonville, which you should win. That's a game you should win, right? But it's not just that. It's the way they won, right? They put a 30 piece up on Jacksonville, and the defense pretty much held them in check. And then you come back, you know, the following week, and last week was a must win. Make no mistake about it. This was a Minnesota Vikings team that was playing well. They had, you know, had a couple of tough losses, and as far as playoff positioning goes, you needed to win that game, and they won that game at home, a place that has not been comfortable for them, you know, throughout the last year or so. And so they've gotten back to the formula, and when I say that, I mean heavy dose of the running game, right? You've seen Deebo Samuel, you've seen Elijah Mitchell, you've seen Kyle Shanahan sort of getting back to his ways as a play caller, things that it has been a recipe for success for this team, which we weren't seeing early in the year, and it's paid huge dividends.
You know, I want to check quickly because you mentioned Deebo Samuel on the medical front. He hasn't practiced this week, and from what I read, he's probably out this week and at Cincinnati next week. So, Rashawn, what does his absence mean? Because he's a rarity. I mean, a wideout who means so much to both the passing and a running game.
Yeah, he's huge. He's huge, and he's taken a giant step this season. In the past, I used to say Deebo was a wide receiver that looked like a running back. And then he started this season playing tremendously well at the wide receiver position. And now, you know, he's looking like a wide receiver that plays wide receiver. And for, you know, the early part of the season, he was leading the league in receiving yards. And he's since been passed by Cooper Kupp, and Kupp's actually played, you know, had played one extra game up until that point. But he's a guy that's versatile in the sense that you can also use him in the run game as well. Like, he's a bulldog. When he gets his hands on the ball, he can make guys miss, but he can also run through guys, which is rare for a wide receiver, right? Like, you just don't see that. And so he's been probably the most important player. Well, I don't want to say most important player. That's probably the quarterback position, but he's probably been the MVP of this team to this point. So losing him with that groin injury, as you mentioned, they say he's going to miss some time. So, you know, maybe a couple of weeks, we'll see. Last thing you want to do is rush him with an injury like that, because then it can become a nagging sort of thing, and you don't want that. But losing him out of the lineup, not only lose a part of the pass game, which he's been so great at, he's making strides at as a wide receiver this year, but at times he's been your best running back as well. But I'll tell you what, this kid Elijah Mitchell, late round draft pick for the Niners this past NFL draft, he fits the part, right? He is phenomenal when he gets the ball in his hands. The guy is a speed demon. He's got some burners. He can run away from people. His main thing this season, his rookie campaign, is just being able to stay healthy. But as long as he's healthy, I think Kyle Shanahan and the offense has immense confidence in him and in his ability and what he can do. And then now you got to start to look at Brandon Ayuk in the pass game a little bit more than you have been in the past. And George Kittle, right? I mean, you talk about the best tight end in the league. He's been sort of underutilized this season. You look at him as well in the pass game a little bit more. And maybe there, you know, Kyle maybe has some tricks up his sleeve in the run game as well. So I think that's something else to watch out for.
I'll tell you what, you don't have to tell anybody who follows the Pac-12 how good Brandon Ayuk can be. That's for sure. A couple final thoughts for Rashawn Haylock of the Believe in Niners podcast. I saw in the practice report their left tackle, Trent Williams, the center, Alex Mack, a couple of guys they brought in recently to bolster the line, just sat out to rest. I mean, you have the two guards, Brunskill and Tomlinson, have been anchors. So what's the word about the shape they're in this late in the season, and just the play of the offensive line as we hit December?
Yeah, there's no secret, right? The improved play of this team has somewhat been a direct reflection of the improved play of the offensive line. You talk about a unit that has needed maybe a little bit of time to get some continuity. Alex Mack, you know, first-year player in the middle of this offensive line. He's a veteran, but he's new to this group, right? And so right. You know how those O-lines go, right? Those guys need to be able to mesh. They need to be able to hang out and know, you know, what time's dinner and who's eating where and where we're eating and what we're having. And they do all that stuff succinctly and together and in order. And so I think you started to see this group gel over the course of the past, I'd say maybe 4 or 5 weeks, and they started to play better. One thing that Kyle Shanahan that he has done, and you see some other coaches around the league do this as well. Sean McVay with the Rams is another guy that does it. He'll give his veterans, you know, some days off during the week. And so there's really no concern there from an injury standpoint. I think, you know, just give those guys a little bit of rest during the week and make sure they're ready to go on Sunday. But this group has definitely played very, very well of late.
Yeah, I keep telling my bosses I could use a couple days off so I do a better Friday show. They ain't buying
it. Not sure that will work for us.
You know, lastly, you know, this matchup with the Seahawks, you know, normally over the past few years, Seattle and San Francisco, the first Sunday of December, it's going to be with so much on the line, but it's obvious the Seahawks are lesser, Russell Wilson. So kind of what's the word about the kind of Seattle team the Niners are going to face Sunday night?
Well, look, Seattle is a cellar dweller in the West, right? But they beat the Niners. And so you look at this matchup, and I think it's a scary matchup for the Niners. I would say that this falls into the must-win category as well. Me and my partner, ED, kind of disagreed on this. He said it's a should-win, maybe not necessarily a must-win. But when you look at it, it's almost the reverse of what happened with the Rams and the 49ers a couple of weeks ago on Monday night, right? The Rams coming in there, you know, this vaunted offense, you know, lauded as one of the best teams in the NFL, right? Like, they should have beat the Niners, right? But the Niners got up for that game, right? They saw those horns, they got up for it, and they went out there, had their best game of the season, you know, to that point. No matter what state Seattle was in, they're going to get up for the Niners, right? And historically, the Seahawks have been a tough matchup for this Niners squad, and also playing up there in the Pacific Northwest has been tough, which made that win on Sunday night late in the 2019 season, that final Sunday of the 2019 season, so special for the Niners to be able to clinch the NFC West and to do it there in Seattle, because it's been a house of horrors, you know, over the years. So this is a scary game for me, because I think Seattle is going to be ready. I think similar to how the Niners feel about the Rams in a sense that, you know, they look at them as a team that they can beat no matter how much success they're having. I think Seattle looks at the 49ers the same way. And so, I mean, look, this is a rivalry game, right? You throw the records, you throw everything out the window. I expect a hard-fought game on Sunday, and hopefully from a Niners standpoint, they can be able to squeak out a dub up there.
Folks, he's Rashawn Haylock. Check out the podcast with the former All-Pro corner and a member of the last Niner Super Bowl winner, E.D. Eric Davis. It's Believe in the 49ers on the Believe Podcast Network. Follow him on Twitter at @RHaylock. And, of course, if you're in L.A., tune in to KTLA. Rashawn, hey, it's great getting a chance to talk with you. Thanks a million for your time. Have a safe, happy holiday, and I hope we can catch up again down the road.
Hey, Steve, this was awesome, man. Great to meet you. Anytime, man. Happy holidays.
Yeah, you too. Take care. Great guy.